not represent any organization. Since I'm a journalist, I have to be objective and fair. But my job keeps me very close to the Uzbek community here in the United States because we regularly cover the Uzbek community, Central Asia community in the United States, as wide as it is, on television, radio, and web. The story of Uzbek immigrants is very similar to the other stories of so many immigrants who have made this country, this great country, home. They came here simply in search of better lives, at least most of them. Some are here because of their unique skills. Some are here because they're political refugees. Some are here for work. Some are here to study and train. And some are here because of their family connections, personal ties to the United States, and some are here illegally. While some are here just on some exchange programs or fellowships. It is very hard to know when was the first time an Uzbek stepped onto the soil. But Uzbeks have a long history in the United States. The very creation of the Uzbek Service at the Voice of America was the work of an Uzbek community here in the 1950s when they pushed for the creation of some kind of a Turkic language service here in Washington. And that was, as I said, in late 1950s. There have been three significant waves of immigration, Uzbek immigration to the United States. And here I should mention that there are at least three groups when we say Uzbeks here in the United States. We have what I call old Uzbeks who came to America from mainly Turkey and Afghanistan. And then you have Soviet Uzbeks and Russian-speaking Uzbeks. And then the third group is the most recent flow, which still continues, and it represents what is now independent Uzbekistan. The first flow happened right after the Second World War, and this group basically with immigrants from either Turkey or Europe whose generations had fled Central Asia in 1920s and 30s, fleeing Bolsheviks, you know, Stalinist repression, and later on the communist regime. So most of them came as political asylees. And then you have a second wave that started in 1980s and through early 1990s. And some were Bukharian Jews, who were not necessarily ethnic Uzbeks, but they very much represented the fabric of the Uzbek society. And they started coming during the Reagan era when immigration for them opened. Since independence, there has been a steady flow of Uzbeks who came here again to study, to train, for work. Many students made lifelong connections and stayed. I'm one of them. And then for the past at least 10 years, 3,000 to 4,000 Uzbek citizens have been winning green card diversity lottery. So that has dramatically increased the number of Uzbeks in the United States. There is no official information about the exact number of the community, but we at Voice of America estimate that there are about 250,000 people here who identify themselves as either Uzbeks or Uzbek citizens living in the United States. Unlike other immigrant groups that formed a tight community in the United States, for example, Ukrainians, Armenians, and Jews, Uzbeks tend to be more atomized. And I think we can safely say that about other Central Asians here, too. You don't have one group, or I wouldn't even call the communities a diaspora, because they are still immigrant communities. To become a diaspora, you have to have a political impact. You have to have a political presence in this country, and you should be able to impact the policies here. So I usually hesitate to call any of us here a diaspora here. We're not there yet. I'm sure, you know, a lot of us aspire to become a diaspora someday, but for now, I would accurately call us communities, immigrant communities, because, you know, as vibrant as we are, as active as we are, and as ambitious as we are, I think there's a lot of work to be done to get there, where we can, you know, essentially affect the policies and try to have some kind of a role in the policy making processes. Essentially, we have several Uzbek communities around the country now that bond as a result of some special connections. For example, in Chicago area, there is a new Uzbek community which is being formed by green card holders. And the main goal of that organization, Uzbek American Association, is essentially to assist newcomers and to help new immigrants to settle, to get to know the system, you know, starting from how do you get your driver's license to how do you get yourself a rental, how do you get to send your kids to school, how do you find your first job, how do you go through the immigration system. So, you know, these communities are based on very, very purely practical purposes. And then you have a small community in Missouri now, which is also quite new. And this is a group of political refugees that settled there following Andijan massacre in Uzbekistan in May of 2005. So these are people who came here fearing for their lives, basically asking, complaining of oppression in Uzbekistan. The most integrated and definitely the largest camp is in New York, New Jersey area. What we at Voice of America call Little Uzbekistan now in Brighton Beach in Brooklyn. As you know, Brooklyn has always been the first stop for many immigrants who came to America. So it's the same place for many Uzbeks now. We estimate that there are about 55,000 Uzbeks living in the borough of Brooklyn itself. And you have thousands in Queens. In Queens, you have a large Bukharian Jewish community who identify themselves as Uzbekistanis. There is Uzbek media, very pretty well established, in Brooklyn. There is Uzbek TV programming that is on public access channels in New York. They do radio broadcasting, too. There's a very popular newspaper called Vatandosh, which is run by Vatandosh Uzbek American Federation. And it is the newspaper was founded by young Uzbeks who came here to study, stayed back, made enough money to start something like that. Most of these initiatives are, some of them are short-lived because people who start them, you know, move on and somebody has to come and continue. But there is the strong sense that Uzbeks need to be more integrated, they need to mobilize better, they need to keep in touch with each other better. But the country is big, and you have various kind of groups, and you have, you know, since a lot of us are not even first generation of immigrants, it's hard for people to build strong communities. It's hard to work together. There are various cultural programs. There are Uzbek language classes being offered in New York, in Los Angeles, in Chicago, in Florida, in Tennessee, in Ohio, in Missouri. There are some incredible initiatives. But you know, again, as I said, it's not very well. Very well integrated. And there is a sense that the community needs to get stronger. The community works pretty much closely with the Uzbek embassy. A lot of them, you know, want to have that door open to Uzbekistan. They have relatives, they have families, and Uzbek embassy is interested in helping them. The oldest Uzbek immigrant organization was founded in late 50s in New Jersey, in Persephone, New Jersey, and it was called American Turkestanian Association. It still exists, and it is run by Afghan Uzbeks. They are seniors now, so they will gladly tell you that the organization is pretty nominal and they want the younger generation to take over and they, you know, and start something different. Because of the three waves of immigration and the purposes behind them and the aspirations behind them, you know, when we talk to the members of the Uzbek community, we hear all kinds of ideas. It's very difficult to sort of generalize and say, here is what the Uzbek community wants in the United States. Based on how long you've been here, what you do on a daily basis, based on your level of education and connections at home, opinions seem, tend to differ. You have political immigrants who are not necessarily interested in any kind of a cultural promotion here. Their main goal is, to do something so that Washington pushes for changes, for political changes in Uzbekistan. And then you have new green card winners who came here and they just want to have peaceful lives here. They want to raise their children. They're not necessarily interested in anything political back at home. They're happy, driving their cars and, buying their homes and living their American dream. And then you have a group of young, ambitious, optimistic Uzbeks, and a lot of us live in Washington area, and we want to have, a stronger impact. So there is a lot that's happening, and I can't summarize them in a few minutes, but I look at the Uzbek community as a very promising group of people. Just needs a lot of work. Mm-hmm.